Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
Friday's edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase, take two, action. We're live. We're back. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe. A little bit of a rough start. We had, what, two false starts?
Yep.
And a hold right out of the gate. So we are looking
at a delay
at,
of game.
We're looking at first and third, or first and, what would that be? Let's see, two false starts.
That's 10 yards.
And a hold.
That's 20.
Yeah, so first and 30.
Yeah. There you go.
Right?
We just got to get 10, 12 yards back on first down.
You don't get it all back. And,
no,
right.
You don't have to get it all back on one.
We'll get Coach Dilfer out here. He'll, you know, run the hurry-up offense, and we'll be good to go.
We are at Lipscomb Academy, and as I mentioned, they will be hosting BGA, Battleground Academy, tonight at 7 o'clock. We're excited to be here. As you just heard, Trent Dilfer will indeed sit down with us at 11:30 at our table here, and we'll talk shop. Talk a little bit about Lipscomb Academy, talk a little football. We'll get into all that good stuff with Trent Dilfer in just a bit. We will check in with Hal Gill. Tough night for the Predators as they were up 4-1 in the third period, and then all the craziness began as Calgary would put up four goals. Looked like Austin Watson was going to give them the game winner with just over a minute to go, and then Matthew Tkachuk guy, who was pretty good at the very end of the game.
It's such a nasty.
It depends on which one. So he ties it up.
The overtime winner.
Yeah, and then the overtime was like, whoa. Like, what do you say? What do you say to that?
Tip your hat.
Yeah, that's just disgusting. But as Hal mentioned last night, we're going to bring Hal in here in just a moment. 10 years ago, it would have been a much, much bigger deal, right? Because nobody was doing that. When you look around the league, look, it's still awesome to see. Like, you still marvel at shots like that, but it's pretty frequent in today's game. I mean, we've already seen a bunch of them already, and everybody's in games 11, 12, and 13, and we've already seen a bunch of those shots go for goals already. In fact, Calgary just had the lacrosse goal on them.
Right.
Right, by Carolina on Tuesday night.
But that still, to me, is the goal of the year. So far in this season, despite all the, yeah, I know guys go through their legs all the time. They usually don't score. There have been a couple guys that have scored, but not at the buzzer in overtime.
That
on the fly,
that pushes
full speed,
it up. Yeah, that pushes it up a notch.
He didn't like take it through his legs. The puck was sitting there. He's skating to the side. He reaches back through his legs and flips it up high to beat the buzzer.
Yeah,
lights out. I mean, sorry. I got to say, that's just a salute. Great job. He's a guy that's an easy guy that you love to hate when he's on the other team. He's a great player. And it's just his night. It was an unbelievable game. It really was. It's a bummer. But
unlike Tuesday night, Calgary had fight. They had pushback.
Yeah.
Chicago did not.
Hey, they're good. Calgary, they've struggled so far, but they got a lot of too many good players for that not to happen at some point. You hate that it happened on this night, and it was a classic case of they were ready to break out, and the Predators didn't do a very good job of playing with the lead in the third period after two incredible lights out periods to start it. Every now and then it happens. You just can't have this happen as a trend.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, is how do you bounce back? Because for Calgary, I mean, you use it as a positive. Okay, you battled back. You ended up winning the game. For the Preds, you don't want to get caught up in this. You essentially have to move on, but how do you learn from it? That's the big question.
What do you need to learn? Who's the best third-period team in the league?
Predators.
All right, going into last night.
Not even close.
So I'm willing to write it off right now as an anomaly. Now, if that happens two or three other times in the next couple weeks, then you got a problem. But I hope it's just you learn your lesson and you bounce back and hopefully play a good hockey game tomorrow.
Yeah, but tomorrow afternoon, remember that.
Yeah.
First installment of two, Hockey Fights Cancer in Bridgestone Arena. It is a 1 o'clock puck drop. We have pregame at noon. So a little matinee hockey, Predators and New York Rangers. And if you're going to boo Jimmy Vesey, he doesn't play for the Rangers anymore. If you missed that in the offseason.
Yeah,
stayed in the state. He's just up in Buffalo.
Well, should be a fun atmosphere. And again, this is, you know, at least you have a relatively quick turnaround and can jump back into it. Try and get 2 points. And I guess the solace is they got a point, because again, you want to accumulate as many points as you can early on in the season. So
I'll tell you, when they tied it 4-4, I was very concerned that it would get to overtime. I was then, you know, relieved that the Predators went back ahead on another great play by Austin Watson. What a night he had! Only to see Tkachuk tie it. It was just one of those nights. But I agree with you. The worst case scenario is you don't get a point. That you come out with a point. The same thing happened. There's one other game in the league last night, and Vegas had the same thing happen to them. They're up 4-2. With 7 minutes to go, they lost it.
Yeah, both home teams lost in overtime last night.
So comebacks happen. This is the NHL now. They have done everything they can within reason to make it so that the offense can come back.
I don't know.
The goals are getting scored at a huge rate. You got dangerous teams, and if you leave the crack open, these teams are good enough to jump through.
I don't know if you saw it, Willie, because you were doing TV stuff, but over on the radio side, but I know you guys are up there close, but Al Gill, who hopefully we'll talk to here in just a minute, and hopefully he's okay, he took a puck to the head. In
he
fact,
did.
It stuck.
Very gruesome.
It stuck in his head. So he had a puck in his forehead, and I think he's all right. He did post-game with me. I felt like he did fine.
I put him through
protocol. I felt like he was okay to go, and so I think he'll be okay to go, but he did take a nasty puck to the head.
I'm guessing
it's stuck right in his head.
I'm guessing he's got an appointment
scheduled. He's got a dead tooth, too. Black tooth.
I'm guessing he's going to be visiting the
I don't know if he's
going to
get
today.
It pulled. Does he get it pulled or does he just leave it in and just say, hey, I'm a hockey player?
Well, I was thinking about the puck, too. Does he have to have that surgically?
I think it just
removed?
Works. It's like a splinter.
It's
it just
work
works
its
way
out.
Yeah, it'll just fall out.
It works its way out.
So,
okay.
when Skills is just doing whatever he's doing, it'll just eventually.
He seemed
just
normal, though. I mean, it seemed like it didn't affect his brain or anything.
I guess it didn't
get into the
portion of the brain that allows you to talk hockey.
Yeah, I thought he was, I thought he was speaking fine last night. So,
sounded good.
We went with it.
Honestly, I did like his perspective in the post game. I liked when he jumped on the he was trying to explain. Well, let's just bring him up.
I want to
reenact listening to the exchange last night when I think the question came up in the ask how.
Yeah.
Did the Flames come back and win the game did the Predators lose the game? And it's a good philosophical question. It depends on
I thought
your
we had
point
good
of
questions.
View.
That was a very good question.
Yeah, that was good. But how, like, went, was talking to somebody, I guess, in the audience, and he said, this woman's upset. She doesn't want to hear about how it's good hockey. I want,
Kathleen was not. She didn't want any part of it.
I only want the Predators to win.
I don't
care what happens.
I don't come to these games to feel good about their comeback.
Yeah.
No, it's not about them.
Yeah.
Al, how's your head?
My head is better, guys. Thanks.
Is the puck still lodged in the head, or did it fall out?
I cannot believe it. It actually came off without taking at least one layer of skin.
Wow.
I thought the scalp. And that's about it. But
that's
but
impressive.
I'm okay.
Okay.
That was a
good question last night. You know, how do you view what happened? But as you said in post game, and people do forget that the other team is trying to win too, and they're paid to win hockey games as well, and they were the best team in the West last year, so we knew the Flames were a pretty good team.
Yeah. That last half of that game is the Preds got kind of set up where it's going to be an easy one. No, this is, we beat Chicago, now we're going to beat Calgary. It's going to be easy. and not so fast. It was a pretty good turnaround, but you know, they're going to look at that as like, oh, that's a turning point in our season. We came back. We found a way to get it done against a great team. The Preds are going to look at it as we lost and we played on our heels. We heard that a lot from Austin Watson, playing on their heels, and you can't win that way. In the end, no matter which side you're on, it matters what you do when you're coming out of it. You know, like if you're going to go into the next game and say, hey, we can't play on our heels, we got to play well, or you turn it into a positive and you go and attack and try to get the win and finish it off, the other team is going to look at it the same way and say, hey, we're going to build off this big win. So it is what it is. That's my favorite quote, because in the NHL, it's always going to change. And it.
Hal, I haven't seen who our post-game guest is tomorrow. I haven't been told. If you have, could you let us know right now so we can announce who's getting a contract extension tomorrow?
It seems to be a theme, huh? Good for Waddy, though. You know what? He's gone through a lot, and he touched on it. He didn't really want to get into it. I think his mind was still beat up about the loss, and he was devastated, but I mean, what a great game he had. He gets a contract extension. He's gone through a lot, and I think he's pretty happy that this team has stood by him and really went to bat for him and believe in him. And, man, he you know, going out and doing the job he does is not an easy one, blocking shots, fighting guys, and then adding some scoring touch too. So good for him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. In all seriousness, we had Roman Josi Tuesday night, Austin Watson last night, and you're right. When I said, what does it mean to you personally, this contract extension and your family, for what, because he touched on it, what you went through last year, and you could tell it meant a lot. I mean, just his body language there with us, Hal, I know it's radio, but to translate it for everybody out there who was just listening, you could tell he dug, you know, he was digging deep for that. You could tell that it was just more than just a contract extension.
Yeah, I lost you for a second, but that's more than just a contract. It's about believing in something and Preds believing in him and him really wanting to be part of this group. So it's awesome all around.
So Hal, I'm just looking at John Buchegras has tweeted this out after the game last night. I just saw it for the first time. And the question is, greatest goal in NHL history? But I don't know if this is true or not, but have you ever seen a guy score a goal? I know we've seen guys score goals through the legs, but through the legs, upper corner, to beat Pekka at the buzzer in OT. I mean, that's a pretty good case for goal of the season, at least.
Well, that's what Kathleen was so upset about. As I said, hey, I know this is a devastating loss for the Preds, but do you guys realize what you just saw? I mean, it really was. It's early in the season. You know, you put that into a playoff perspective, and if goals get like that get scored in the playoffs, people are going to lose their minds. That was such a beautiful goal, and to be able to shoot it that hard. You know, the problem going between your legs is you really can't wind up on a shot. If you wind up, you're blowing out your groins. So for him to get that much steam on it would just pretty awesome. I was blown away. I was like, you know, and he tried it earlier in the game, and every guy is trying it more and more often, and we're seeing that happen. But that, like you said, to pick a corner and to actually put that much juice on it was pretty impressive.
It was incredible. So, Hal, you you talked about just the whole thing. This happens in the league. It happened in the only other game last night that was played. Vegas, in their home building, lost a 2-goal lead late, lost in overtime. Comebacks do happen. The league is trying to make the conditions on the team that is holding a lead tough so the offense can come back. But tactically, well, one of the things I heard Chris Mason say, and I wonder what you saw, as Calgary was attacking in the third period. You know, guys like Johnny Gaudreau, they're so tough to contain when they build speed coming through the neutral zone. I mean, what are you supposed to do to defend differently once they start feeling it like they did.
Yeah, you know what the thing for me was, the Preds couldn't break out. They made, I think there's a little bit of adjustment. A lot of times, you know, the forecheck for Calgary, they wanted to get on the first guy and get on the defenseman. Well, they kind of conceded the first pass and then took away the second pass. And we saw the Preds turning the puck over a lot on that second pass up by the blue line in that area, not necessarily turning it over down low, but up high. And then once you have those guys countering, those turnovers happen, and they're countering. If you have Johnny Gaudreau coming at you, well, you don't have your gap, and you're playing on the offensive and then have to switch to the defensive that quick. It makes it that much harder to get him. And the quick exchanges, the speed, the attack. How many times did you see Matthew Tkachuk come in to the middle and just kind of wait for defense to attack him, and then he'd spit it to the outside? And I think that was a little adjustment that Calgary made that the Preds really couldn't compete against, and that's what kind of got them. And, you know, it looks like you're on your heels, but how else are you going to play when you turn the puck over to a guy like Gaudreau who's coming back at you and he's got dangles for days and shifty as heck? And it's I just think that's a hard way to play. And, you know, I hate to see guys punt it out of the zone, but if you can get it into the other end of the ice without icing it, and then at least you can set up your forecheck. But they had no chance with those guys coming back at them.
Isn't it crazy how certain trends happen, too, against certain teams? The Flames now have 5 overtime wins over the Predators in Nashville in the last 9 meetings in this building. It just there's some things you just cannot figure out.
What is it, 8 of 9? They've won in Nashville.
They've won 8 out of 9, and 5 of them have been in overtime. Just crazy. And Nashville's had a lot of success in Calgary.
Yeah, and that's what I was just going to say. It flips around, and for whatever reason but they're always good games. I feel like they're always tight, and I was kind of surprised to see that game get out of hand early on. And, you know, I'm just sitting there going, oh, no, this is there's no way it's going to stay like this the whole game. There's going to be some pushback, and how is it going to go down? But, you know, for a pretty dull game, it became a crazy, awesome, fun third period. You go out the wrong way on it, but those games are always fun. I think that's, you know, the reason why you play is to compete and be in those games. So, you know, the Preds can look at it that way, like, hey, it didn't work out their way. They got a point, but they had that compete level, and that's what they're going to need going down the stretch. So maybe it's good to get it started now.
Yeah. One other Hal Gill appreciation moment I had last night was in the 3-on-3. This is what's funny is how close the game is. The play for Tkachuk might have never happened had it not been for a great defensive play by Mark Giordano, who did the Hal Gill long body block of the 2-on-1 pass. Ryan Ellis has the goalie's way out, and all he's got to do is flip it over the body of Giordano. Colton Sissons is waiting on the other side. It's a layup goal to end it. It would have been brought the house down, but Giordano made a great play.
Yeah, no, that's it. And that's usually the way it goes. You know, you start to – it's a puck possession game and the 3-on-3, and then there's a quick change, and someone gets beat, and then all get out, and it's back and forth, and then it gets exciting. It took a long time for it to happen, but you know, eventually with time ticking down, guys are like, "All right, let's go for it." And man, that was so close. So isn't that funny about that game? That game, as devastated as the Preds were, if Ryan Ellis makes that play and Giordano doesn't make that play, then you know it's a goal, and we're talking about what a great game that was instead of a devastating loss. So it's a fine line.
Hal Gill is with us, and you know they're going to practice today. How do you talk about last night if you're Peter Laviolette, or is it essentially today it's a new day and you're just kind of moving on and focused on the Rangers?
You know what? It depends on the mood in the room. I think this is a pretty loose group, and we always talk about how honest they are. I think you have to talk about it, but it's the way you talk about it. Is it? Does Laviolette feel like they need to get beat up a little bit about it? Like, hey, come on, that can't happen. Let's work it out. Let's go hard today and kind of beat it out of ourselves. Or are they going to just kind of say, all right, you know, we got to play full three periods. Let's get back to work and learn from it. I would assume they'd go and learn from it. I didn't like to be lied to as a player. Don't tell me it's okay. You know, it's a results business, and you got to go out and get it done. So let's figure out what happened, and then learn from it and move on. But you know, sometimes you need to take a beating from the coach. I'm not sure if Lavi's at that point yet. I think it's still early in the season for that.
Well, what I'm curious about, because we've heard Peter Laviolette say earlier in the season that he's tried to turn a lot of things over to the players and let the players kind of police the room and take care of some of that stuff. So I do wonder if this is one of those situations where maybe you kind of see some of that, or like you were saying, does he need to step in and, you know, have a talk?
I think the old coaches, Mike Keenan's of the world, you know, where they want to be the bully and go in it. I think those days are gone. I think you put the power into the players and let it, put it on their shoulders and let them handle it. But in the end, it all comes back to the guy who controls the ice time, and that's the coach. So, you know, if you want to make a point heard, Lavi's the guy with the big gun. So, you know, if he wants to say something, he's got to step up and do it. But I do think he wants the players to control it as much as possible.
Another question I heard on Ask Cal that I thought was pretty good was how difficult it is when you've been out with injury to jump back in. And I heard you talk about Philip Forsberg a little bit, and just how hard it is to be out and now to have to play a game and try and go back to where you were.
Yeah, it depends on the injury, but yeah, it's certainly an adjustment period. But you know, if you have a lower body injury, you know, do you want to go hard into the corner and absolutely, you know, if you have a bad groin, that first time you get hit and have to put weight on that groin and shift and get away from a check, that can be scary. And so if you haven't done it, you know, you say you've done it in practice. Oh, I went through practice and that's great. But once you're in the corner battling, then you have to test it. So you want to get it out of the way as soon as possible, but you also don't want to do it. You know, it's a little mental game. But if you go through, you know, one or two periods without getting any hit, you know, if you have a shoulder problem, you want to take a hit so you can feel good about yourself. But at the same time, you're afraid of it. So, it's a balancing act, but I thought Phil did a good job getting in there. He's got to get that chemistry back. I don't think it was quite as, glorious as we saw earlier with Duchesne, but, I have no fear that that'll come back soon.
Hal, go get your free Big Mac and your free Frosty and enjoy
lunch.
Yeah,
we do have that. We do have that, don't we?
Yeah.
What a great day to be alive, huh?
Yeah. That, I can't say it any better.
And I would say there's many areas in town where those two restaurants are pretty close together.
Oh, there's no right? question. No
If you
question.
Find one, you'll
perfect.
Find the other.
Yep.
It's perfect. Hal, all beef patties, special sauce. It's all good.
Less cheese. Yeah. You've sung it before.
The pickles and the onions, that's a sesame seed bun. That's pretty good, too.
I have a feeling after we've just done, I was going to say, after just doing this, we'll probably have somebody on a food run here in just a moment. Hey, Skillsy, always appreciate it.
All right.
We will not forget that. Have a good Friday.
We'll see you nice and early tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Matinee hockey, noon pregame, 1 o'clock puck drop. And don't forget tomorrow. We get an extra hour. Yippee!
That'll come in handy tomorrow for that 1 o'clock start.
Yes,
sure.
It is the best. Knowing you've got your Saturday night and you get an hour.
Oh, yeah, it's nice.
Hello.
That's nice. You know what? I do want to commend you guys because I thought it was a good post-game show for a game that, you know, everybody's just, you know, they're wanting to pull their hair out and go nuts. And there was plenty of people venting on Twitter. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, Do you realize they've won the last four games? Like they hadn't given up anything. Yeah. You know, you can't dominate everybody every night. It was
everyone wants perfection.
It was everybody's disappointed. I get it, but you guys had good perspective. I'm like, you didn't give them a pass, right?
No.
They screwed it up. They know it.
Yep,
it happens. But like Brent Peterson had a great line that Hal relayed too. Yeah. He said, "You know what? This is a pretty good league. It's a pretty good league.
And Brent would know that as he was going through the Wendy's drive-thru.
Yes.
Conveying that message. Hey, yeah,
that's what made me think of it, the Frosties. You guys were just bringing up the Frosties. Like, well, you know, Brent likes Frosties.
No, look, Hal said it right there. I mean, you know, taking away, you know, as Peter Laviolette, the result, right, the end result, and the result was Calgary got the 2 points and not the Predators. They did get a point. Still was a fun Thursday night Halloween hockey
sure.
game.
Oh, man. It was a great atmosphere. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, the result is not what anybody wanted, but that happens. And, again, it was game 13 by my account.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, you learn from it, you move on, and get ready for New York.
Hey, did you know an estimated 1.2 million people right here in the U.S. are living with or in remission from a blood cancer? Well, you can join us, ESPN The Game Nashville, for Light the Night Walk tonight at Nissan Stadium. You can be the difference in saving a life by being a part of the 2019 Light the Night Walk. For more details, to be a part of the event, or to contribute, visit lightthenight.org/events/Nashville. Hope a lot of you get out there tonight and be a part of that. We will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase live here at Lipscomb Academy on this Friday morning. On ESPN 102.5, The Game. Ryan Porth, listen up. Your AD is about to go to Southern California. It appears that USC is going to hire Cincinnati Bearcats athletic director Mike, is it Bone?
It's Bone.
B-O-H-N, Bone, as their next AD.
I'm aware.
Oh, you're on the board.
I'm in the studio.
Okay. Look at, see, you okay. Bring up Cincinnati, and he's immediately on a microphone.
Just like, there are alarms. They go,
Cincinnati talk. Cincinnati talk.
That was a quick one,
Cincinnati
wasn't it?
Talk. Wow. Yeah. That was impressive. No heads up at all, and you were right there waiting for the call. What does this mean for the Bearcats losing Mike Bone? Your thoughts.
It means that they're going to have to find a new AD.
Wow. You can't get that, folks, anywhere else.
You can't get that anywhere
else.
That's
great insight.
Yep.
That's good.
Good stuff.
All right, Ryan.
Thank you, PD.
Go analyze the power play.
No problem.
Hopefully he wasn't reading notes on that one.
You can tell it's Friday. You can just
Well, in all seriousness, and we do appreciate everybody's patience, and I'm being serious with this, evidently there's a lot of people dealing with, there's, I guess, some cell tower issues. Like, there's a lot of outages.
Like, during the
issues.
During the Hal Gill interview, my watch and my phone both, like, spazzed out.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on. You know, it's Friday, maybe traffic, maybe somebody hit a cell tower. I don't know. I just, there's a lot of weirdness going on with phones out there.
Yeah.
Well. Nate on Twitter says, do you ever think the NHL will ever change the rule about laying on the puck? A penalty will be assessed if the hand is covering the puck, but players can lay all over it for as long as they want with no penalty being drawn. What do you think?
It's an interesting question, but I don't really know what the guy's supposed to do. It's happened. Dan Hamhuis had it happen, I think, in Tampa, right? He took one in the midsection, fell down on the puck, and then the guy's jabbing and, you know, hitting him in the ribs with the stick. If they deem it's intentional, that would be debatable. But if you're just blocking a shot and it ends up under you, it's a tactical move. I'll give you another one. T.J. Brody got away with a holding the stick of Matt Duchene a play before. Remember, they were battling behind the net. Duchene appears to have him beat because Brody has fallen down. And the only recourse he has is to grab the stick. But he did it sort of subtly.
Right.
The referee, I think, was kind of screened. And they let it go.
So is there a rule, or is it just kind of up to the discretion of the ref of how long they go without seeing the puck before they blow
the whistle? Yeah, that's a good question.
I think why Nate is asking it is, yes, this goes on all the time, especially late in games whenever the team is scrambling to try to – it's a one-goal game, and they're trying everything. They've pulled their goalie. They got the extra attacker, and they're trying to do anything and everything to tie it up. And what is – you know, the team with the lead do if something like this presents itself. A lot of times you see them and there's bodies everywhere, and they just lay on it. I guess the point is, and I don't know if Nate is attempting this or not, but it's very clear. You see, like, they're making no attempt to do anything but just lay there, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like a dead corpse. I mean, they're not making. Well, you know, there's no attempt to do anything, and I think that's what Nate is asking.
Like
the guy,
football.
The guy that's just sitting there and like, okay, you guys can keep hit me with your stick or doing, you know, whatever is going on there. I'm just going to lay here on the puck and let the tick, the time just keep ticking away.
Let the tick tock.
Until they do something, right? Until they call it or whatever.
Well, and it's kind of like in football that if you're a team trying to score and you're out of timeouts, you know, all of a sudden a guy gets a cramp. And, you know, I know the NFL has done things to, with the runoffs and stuff to try and prevent that, but it's the same strategy.
It's still going on. You're right. Especially
or even if you don't
do
that.
Some college games, man, you see it all the time. You're like, come on.
Yeah, to
dude,
slow
like,
down
you
the pace.
You know that guy is just sitting there on his knees.
Oh, got a cramp.
Trainers come out there like, is this what I think? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my knee.
It's what I think. Hey, grab my leg. Yeah, it's what you – yeah, yeah. It's yeah.
What, well, what about this one, though? A team is defending the lead. The other team is in the two-minute drill offensively. They don't have any timeouts, and you tackle a guy, you just kind of lay on top of him.
Yeah, right?
You know the guy's trying to get up, get the ball to the official, and get set up for the next play. You just kind of lie there, right, as long as you can to try to waste time. It's just a tactic.
It happens all the time.
I don't know if you can change the rule. I think to answer Nate's question, I think that's here to stay.
I think that's one of those situations where – and we talk about it all the time with officiating of, okay, how fine do you want to get? Because if you can put a rule on everything, you can officiate everything, but if you call every teeny tiny little penalty, I mean, you're ruining the game. So it just, you have to decide what are you going to live with, what's going to be acceptable, how much are you going to be able to push the envelope, and then how much are you going to want to actually enforce? And I think this is the type of situation where it's like, how much do you really want to enforce? That's why I asked the question. Is there like in the ref's head, okay, if I don't see the puck for 5 seconds, I got to blow it dead.
You don't want somebody to get hurt. If a guy's lying on the puck and he was knocked down and he's on top of it, everybody's, you know, prying and pulling.
I'm sure
and
there's
spearing.
A lot of sticks to
the
body parts.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reason that you blow the whistle is you don't want the guy to get hurt. And So I think by rule, Giordano was within his rights to do what he did. He's not, as long as you don't close your hand on the puck, you're okay. You're not going to be called for delay a game.
What if you while you're laying on it, you stuff it up your shirt or down your pants?
I think that's a terrible idea.
Why is that a bad idea?
Because if somebody figures it out, they're going to try and get it.
Well, if you can do that without closing your hand on the puck.
Well, they can't see it.
That.
No, but I'm saying you're down. There's bodies. They can't see that you're stuffing it up your shirt. Don't tell me somebody hasn't done that. Well, I'm sure that has gone on, right?
I'm sure. We've seen.
If you can do that with hockey gloves on and holding sticks, that's pretty good.
That's talent.
The hidden puck trick.
The Carolina Panthers have announced that quarterback Cam Newton is in Green Bay today to see a foot specialist.
A Lisfranc specialist?
Says the Panthers have said the general manager said he has done everything he can possibly do with his rehab process to get his foot back to 100%. Unfortunately, we haven't reached it to this point. That doesn't sound encouraging for him coming back anytime soon.
No.
Yeah.
No, it does not.
I don't think so.
Right?
I mean, if you're going to Green Bay to see an expert, I mean, it's not good to have to go.
Well, what does that mean, Chase? If you're going to Green Bay.
That's not what I meant.
There are no experts in Green Bay?
No, I mean.
Or specialists?
You're going away from Charlotte, North Carolina, where he is, to Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is where.
No, can there not be a foot specialist in Green Bay that's top notch?
I don't know. I guess there is. That's why he's going.
I know, but you were kind of like.
That's not what I.
That's
what I meant
what
is, if you have to leave and go to Green Bay or, you know, I don't know, New York or Illinois, like what?
The hole. He's digging. He's digging.
Yeah, Ryan, you still there? You got a shovel?
I got a shovel.
So you tried to throw a little, and then it's like,
I didn't try to do anything.
Green Bay. Go Pack,
I
go.
I stepped in it.
Go Pack, go.
As you like to say, I stepped in it. I need to go clean my shoe. Do that during a break.
All right, we will come back and wrap up.
There you go,
up,
Kent. There's a promo.
Wrap up the first hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday morning, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, Trent Dilfer. We're at Lipscomb Academy. Tonight they are hosting BGA. Now, hold on a second. That's Battleground Academy. They'll be here tonight, 7 o'clock kickoff. Mm-hmm. Trent Dilfer.
BGA's head coach, Jonas Rodriguez, was an assistant at FRA my junior and senior year. So.
Yeah.
I'll give you a
few. You guys tight?
We were when I was there. I haven't seen him since high school.
Yeah.
Now, this is how old I am. When Jonas and Barton Simmons, Engel Martin, all those guys were at MBA, and when they were in middle school, we used to have workouts. Me and Billy McCaffrey and Bruce Elder and some of the recently retired Vanderbilt players would work them out at MBA, just like on the weekends, you know, running through drills and stuff. Those were back in the days. That was a good group of high school athletes right there. Those guys were good multi-sport guys that had a lot of success. And obviously they've gone on, a lot of them have gone on to really good things.
That's when Bowers was still in the NBA, right?
Yes, yeah. He coached basketball and football back then.
We were walking around during the break here in this room that we are in at Lipscomb Academy, and of course to the right of us is where they'll be playing the game against BGA tonight. To the left of us is the indoor facility, and we were kind of joking, man, high schools were different than when we were in high school.
A little bit different.
But I was thinking of the indoor facility, and I don't know if you guys saw this, maybe a moment of silence, just because this market did twice host an arena football team. It looks like the AFL is about to close the doors.
For good?
Looks like the Arena Football League is no more. That's what I was reading this morning.
That's a serious bummer.
They're about to close up shop.
I'm gonna be very honest with you. This is not a shot. This is just me being honest. I honestly thought they were gone years ago.
I know. It's not the same as it was.
You know, this is a sad story.
Like, have they had a TV deal?
I think they've only had like 4 or 6 teams. That's what they were down to anyway. Yeah. I mean, that's how much. What was the? I mean, that's a big erosion. What did they have whenever the Cats were around? There were a lot of teams.
At its peak, and fortunately for me, it was at a broadcasting stage. I got to do some of those Cats games when, I don't want to say it was a big, big deal, but they had a niche that was working. They were in major cities. They had good crowds, and they were on ESPN, and they even got on network TV sometimes. Like the Arena Bowl that the Cats played in was on ABC.
Yeah.
Right? And when they played in the spring, I'm talking about the first when it was the Cats, not when they came back as the Cats. When they left and then came back, the league had taken a step back. They tried to bite off too much, right? They went to the winter time. They moved the season up to February, and they tried to go right as the NFL season was ending. It was just a big mistake. Where if they had just kept the formula that was working. Play in the arenas after the hockey and the basketball are basically over, and you have dates, and it gives you that something going on in the spring and the summer. It was really a good thing.
The original Cats, they started playing before the Preds, right?
Yeah.
Because I remember going to a game, and I think Andy Kelly was the quarterback. And
those were great teams.
Crew lived in Antioch up on the hill.
Yeah,
I think it was called the Club. That's where the Cats lived. I mean, once again. For people that haven't been here very long, or at least haven't been here going back to those days, that you've heard us talk about that Antioch area, Hickory Hollow Mall, that was happening.
Right.
Now, it's coming back around, and obviously the Ford Ice Center in Antioch has helped that a ton, and they're trying to revitalize that whole area, and things are on the up and up. But back then, that first stint with the Cats, that's where the Nashville Cats players lived. They're in Antioch up on the hill above Hickory Hollow Mall. They got really good crowds. I mean,
it was fun.
I remember going to them all the time as a kid.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And of course, Pat's Perduto that we all know. But and then when they came back, you could tell it was fun, but it was different. The league was different. It just kind of had a
It was not quite what it needed to be. because stuff started happening. It's like they had a following, so then the players started saying, well, maybe we need to make more money. Because it really was not a league where you could make a ton of money.
Right.
But that it was kind of like, well, this was a formula that was working. It's not like the owners were making a ton of money, but it was working. But then when the players needed to make more, I think they formed a union, and then we're like, well, maybe we should merge with the NFL. Because remember, the NFL took, what, 50% ownership?
A lot of the owners started owning these teams.
Right.
The NFL owners, yeah.
Then the players like, well, hey, now there's more money. We can make more money. It just, and then the financial model just started evolving away from what had been working. And it's not like I'm some economic expert, but it just seemed like when you had a team in Phoenix, that Danny White was behind it, right? The
right.
Rattlers, the
yep.
Arizona Rattlers, really well run. You had teams in Texas. You had Nashville.
Orlando
was a really successful one for a long time. The crazy Iowa Barnstormers, right? That was a crazy arena.
That's where
Kurt Warner played. But you had major markets. And you had other major markets coming in. New York had a team. L.A. had a team. The Bon Jovi came in and started the Philadelphia team.
Yep.
You had something going there. But it got off track. And I hate to say this, but the guy, you know, Jim Baker.
Dave Baker. Who was the commissioner for a long time.
We
used to deal with him all the time.
He kind of took him over the cliff, unfortunately.
Yeah, well,
I think he tried.
Isn't he now running the NFL Hall of Fame?
He does. He runs the NFL Hall of Fame. But he was the one that tried to get the partnership with the NFL and thought that would be the solution. But it just.
But in theory, it wasn't a bad idea.
To me, where they went off track is when they moved the season.
Right.
When they were starting in whatever it was, late March or early April, right after college basketball was over, you had a window where there wasn't as much going on, and you could get people watching. You could get people coming. So, moment of silence.
Do you remember their first season?
What, the Cats?
No, the first season, the inaugural season of the AFL.
I don't.
Well, I didn't remember.
It was before the Cats got there.
Correct, right. 1987.
Wow.
I didn't remember it being.
We just had a friend of ours text us about it, and we left this out, and it is true. Where did Pat Spruduto and Jay Gruden come from? They were players.
In Tampa?
In Tampa, yeah. They had a great program at Tampa.
Do we know anybody that is familiar with Tampa?
I think we do.
Do we?
Besides Pat and Jay? Because remember we would go to their facility, the Cats facility, and Jay Gruden and Pat Spruto would be sitting at the table with Corey Fleming and Andy Kelly, and they'd just be getting ready for the next game. It was so great. We were just hanging out with them.
It was the best.
For radio, promoting radio stuff. Remember we played the charity basketball game against those guys? We beat them, by the way.
By the way, speaking of nostalgia, they just made a huge announcement. For the arena, because for people that have been around it, that was the first ever event in 2022, is going to be very, very special back in Bridgestone Arena. Because, and Willie, you were here for, I was not. This was right before, because I forgot about this. And when they announced it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Because I thought Amy Grant was the first ever event, and it was first concert.
Yeah.
But the first ever event was.
Well, Amy Grant, I think, was the first ever event. The first sporting event.
Sporting event.
Was the U.S. Figure Skating Championships.
Right. Which is coming back.
Yes. 25th anniversary.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Now, like, I think that's awesome.
Now, were you, I can't remember the time on exactly. This was 1990. This might have been before you were with us on the station. Was it?
What?
1997?
Yeah.
Would you?
This was before.
Before.
This was before.
So we did a show in the. Then called Nashville Arena, brand spanking new, still trying to finish all of the. Next time we have Scott Ramsey on, we'll tell
the purple
this story.
Signs.
Who was, we're by so, the way, on the stay on the podium?
Yeah.
For the announcement,
right.
Here, he's still here.
And I don't. He may have told this story yesterday, but they had the event, the U.S. Figure Skating Championships. The arena is just finished, right? It's like the first event where everybody's excited. but there were a few seats that were not quite finished being built. So here's your ticket. You come in, and you go to your seat, and there's just this frame. There's a frame, and you don't have a seat. Like, hey, we got this new arena. I'm all right. Let's just watch.
Got it. We got
we're
a frame.
Okay. We'll find a way. We'll just go stand somewhere.
I think my first event in there was like the Ronald McDonald Circus. And that was the first thing
really?
I ever went to at Nashville Arena.
What year was that? Do you remember?
I mean, it was the first year. It was like 90. They did it open in 96 or was it right at 96?
I think like Christmas of 96 would have been the Amy Grant concert.
Right, yeah.
And then I think it was January 97 they were saying, right, with the figure skating championship.
See, I was here later in 97.
Okay.
It was probably spring of 1997. Was my first time in there.
And then the Cats would have been the spring, summer of 97, right? I think is when they started.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. My second hour, in fact, the head coach, Trent Dilfer, just walked through here. He'll join us in about 30 minutes. We are live at Lipscomb Academy. We'll come back. Hour number two of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, sweetie. Your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.